4CA, John McKenzie, 1300 872911.
Look, here we go again. Once again, it's impossible to ignore. This crime rate is just going through. It's just mobile in a vertical direction, and seemingly nothing is being done about it. Now, what we have here, this is from the Cairns Post, but it's also covered extensively in the Courier Mail today, is the plight particularly of females. It's bad enough for anybody, but females feel particularly vulnerable after their homes have been penetrated by these evil creatures that are just absolutely teeming in numbers these days and expanding in numbers all the time. There's an even worse situation, I suppose, when you say, well, females are terrified over a longer period because they feel so vulnerable. What about females with children in the room or in the adjacent room or whatever after their homes have been penetrated by these evil creatures? Now, have a listen to this. This is under the heading, Horrifying New Normal, in the Cairns Post. This is by Peter Carruthers. Youth crime victim sleeps with bushmans as protection. After having her home ransacked and plastered with eggs in a disturbing reality of the youth crime epidemic, this victim of Cairns crime now sleeps with a can of toxic bushmans repellent by her bed. 2 months on from the Christmas Day rampage by four teenagers through her Whitfield home, Tamara Sheroy can't shake a concern that the horrific incident could happen over again. Spending the special day in Mareeba with her family, the former real estate worker was struck with a pang of dread when seeing discarded Christmas gifts dumped in the driveway upon arriving home to Cairns. She said, quote, "I saw some Christmas presents in the driveway, smashed, and all the doors were pulled off and smashed. They stole Christmas presents and alcohol and basically trashed the house. It was absolutely horrific. They emptied out every drawer and smashed eggs through the house. And police said in other houses they'd thrown oil all over the walls. There are no other words for it. They are grubs." Unquote. In the past 3 months to February 15, there were 699 unlawful entry offences logged within the Cairns local government area, which was a slight increase on the 689 offences in the previous three-month period. These are three-month periods, 700. Most disappointing to Ms. Sheroy was dealing with the aftermath, which for hundreds of victims of crime had become a new normal, where little could be done for crime victims. Now, I'll skip to a couple of paragraphs later in this article. On the same day, two suburbs over, Katie Johnson in Redlinch went through a similar experience when four masked and gloved teenagers snuck through her house right past a room where her four-year-old daughter and baby were sleeping. They jimmied a garage window to gain access and took off at 4:40 a.m. with her Mitsubishi ASX, which was later dumped. It took 5 weeks to get the vehicle back. Police later told her the three youths, listen to the age, this is 4:40 in the morning, three youths aged between 12 and 15 had recently been released from the Cleveland Youth Detention Centre in Townsville. You know, juvenile justice in this state is a train smash. And do you think anyone is coming up with some answers? Crickets. Crickets. I just put a call through to Tamara. She's on the line, and she's going to talk to me for a minute or two about her experience. And please listen closely, because we have really got to start protecting ourselves as best we possibly can against this invasion of our homes. Tamara, good morning.
Good morning, John, and thank you for having me on this morning.
This personally must have been an absolutely horrific thing, and the point I'd like to focus on too is the fact that you don't get over it in a day or two. It stays with you. But firstly, when you came home from Mareeba, talk to me about the experience, what you saw.
Yeah, so look, John, it does. It continues with you all the time. And I'd come back down from Mareeba, basically was going home, and my idea in my head was get the presents, get the food out of the fridge and head out to Clifton Beach where all the family was coming down to have Christmas. And anyway, it was about sort of, 8 in the morning. I'd driven in and I've noticed, one particular present that I was giving to someone was like, you know, truffle oil set and olive oil, all that was smashed in the driveway. And it took me a bit to kind of go realise what had happened, I guess. And then once I'd got up into the carport, you know, you obviously seen the doors off and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, to be honest, it kind of took me a bit and I stood there and I looked at the house and initially in the living room, you know, you could just see eggs smashed everywhere, just stuff everywhere. Like, it's hard to kind of describe. And obviously then my initial reaction was, oh, shit, you know, maybe someone's still in the house. And, you know, you kind of look around for something to protect yourself with. And I thought, nah, I'm just going to stay at the car and call the police. And, you know, look, police credit, you know, the lady on the phone who I spoke to, she was great. I was, to be honest, you know, very upset. And anyway, she stayed on the phone while I said to her, I'm going to walk in the house and see if anyone's here. Anyway, obviously then realised that whoever, you know, there was no one in the house. And then I could see the aftermath of what occurred throughout the rest of the house. And, you know, every bedroom was just like, every drawer was out. It was dumped everywhere. Like, it was just crazy. I guess the worst thing was is, you know, they stole most of the Christmas presents that I guess they could use, because the one Christmas present they left behind was a Thomas the Tank Engine little ride-on toy for my nephew. But the rest of it was gone. Alcohol was gone. But the weirdest thing was, John, is I had, you know, I had laptops there. I had iPads. I had iPhones, jewelry, all that. And all that's left, right? And you're just saying to yourself, they're purely doing this out of complete boredom, because anything that they actually could have stole, stuff out of the shed, Yeti Eskies, camping gear, stuff that you think these kids could actually use, they don't take. They're there out of boredom, and it pisses you off even more.
They also seem to be fueled by hatred. I mean, tearing the doors off, I just don't get it. This orgy of destruction seems to be one of the reasons they want to do it. They seem to be fueled by hatred. Talk to me about the destructive aspect of it. I mean, that must have made it immeasurably worse for you.
That was, you know, like, I think that's the bit that probably disturbed me the most, was them taking the food out of the fridge and just making a mess of the house, taking things out and just... and the aftermath of that, of having to, you know, it being Christmas Day, all the family, you know, had then come over. Police are there by that stage. Like, it just, and you just have to end up calling. Like, lucky for me, I had people around me in my family that are builders and security screen fitters and all that kind of stuff that could help secure the house. But that still took days. And, you know, I ended up, I didn't want to be there. I just did not want to be there.
Yeah.
And as a single female,
yes,
who, you know, I pride myself on doing well in life, on working hard and supporting, you know, myself financially.
Yes.
And to be able to feel like you can't go home and that no one in areas that actually have the control seem to care about that, it just does your head in.
It says here, most disappointing to you is dealing with the aftermath, which for hundreds of victims of crime had become a new normal. Dealing with the aftermath, where little could be done for crime victims. Tell me about this statement. Little can be done for crime victims. They're fundamentally left on their own to do the best they can.
Yeah, and I guess that's how I feel at the moment. Like, as much as you've got the family support and the friend support, one, you know, there's the cost of what it was to, I guess, to re-security the house, you know, doors, locks, all that kind of stuff. Mm. But even more so now, I have since moved to Mackay to start a new job, and I'm looking at a rental down here, and I'm in my head going, like, I'm Googling of a nighttime, how can I secure the doors?
Yes.
So that I know I can sleep, you know, whether that be putting wooden, you know, doweling in between the door, you know, just security cameras, like, and that costs money. And it just, it angers you that it's something that just continuously lingers.
prisoner in your own home. What's this about the Bushmans? You're quoted saying, I sleep with a can of AeroGuard or Bushmans if someone did come into the room during a break-in. Tell me about the selection of the
repellent. Guess my fear of being on my own is if someone comes into the room, what they're capable of doing. You know, you don't want to jump to conclusions, but you do hear stories where, you know, women are hurt and that kind of stuff. And I guess my instinct is to have a weapon. Mm. You can't do that. You know, God forbid they came into my room and tried to do something to me and I had a baseball bat or a weapon and hurt one of them. You know, I'd be the one that has to then go into a courtroom and probably be charged for assault. Mm. Like, that's the reality. It happened recently in Mariba with another case. And I thought, well, okay, well, what's something I can... I feel like at least if someone was to come towards me, what's something that I can actually apprehend them with? And that's, you know, I walked around the house and, you know, I saw Bushmans. Like, I don't know, I don't believe the stuff is toxic, but at least it would hurt them in the eyes enough for me to be able to get away.
Mm.
But I also lock my bedroom door. Like, I lock my doors, and then I lock my bedroom door. Like... And it's just, it's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. Oh, there's an adjacent story, actually. It's the same article. At two suburbs over the same day, Katie Johnson in Redlinch went through a similar experience. Four masked and gloved teenagers. Now, what we're seeing with these so-called masked and gloved teenagers, they're as likely as not to be carrying a weapon, like a knife or whatever, or a machete, which makes the whole prospect of an invasion of your house even more terrifying. They snuck through her house, straight past her a room where her four-year-old daughter and baby were sleeping. Now, imagine going to sleep as a mother after this sort of situation where your four-year-old daughter and your baby were exposed, possibly, to an armed invasion by these fundamentally 12 to 15-year-old children.
Yeah, and look, John, I actually know Katie. Her, you know, company does a bit of work for our real estate. And when I saw her on Facebook on one of the crime pages saying her car had been stolen, I rang her and I just said, mate, I'm so sorry. Like, you know, it just must be terrifying. And I can't even imagine what it would be like to have a baby and someone come in that house. Like, you just, yeah, it's unfathomable, to be honest, so...
To get an answer to this nightmare and a reduction in the extent of what's happening to our local people under this absolute explosion of crime, where do we go with it, Tamara? You're a very, very, I know a lot about, well, a bit about your background at the top professional level. Do you ponder where we can go? Well, clearly, it's not a capability for the police. It certainly is also not an entire capability of our court system. It's got to be restructured. Where would we go with getting some better results in reducing the numbers of these appalling crimes, these invasions of our homes tomorrow?
Yeah, look, John, it's the question on everyone's mind, you know, and given, you know, my previous role in government, I sit there and I ponder, you know, what is the saving? You know, look, it's never going to be a perfect world. There's always going to be crime. But at the end of the day, one, we need to look at these kids and their education, and one, if they're getting an education, that needs to be, you know, that needs to be there first. Because let's face it, their home life isn't great. You know, I've said to people all the time, what saddens me most about this is that these kids are better off on the street than at home, because sometimes what they're seeing at home and experiencing at home, it's just, you know what I mean? Like, take the kid to the street. But then you go, okay, well, we need to obviously look at programs, one, helping them in that aspect, and two, we need to look at, you know, the dirty word no one likes to talk about and the governments don't like to talk about, a boot camp. You know, we don't need to call them a boot camp, but let's call them like a self-improvement program or something. But we actually just need to face the reality that those programs actually worked.
Mm.
We need to get people, like, let's put some money out there, get some programs coming back to government saying, hey, this is what we propose. Let's, you know, for example, whether it be a property somewhere, a farm or wherever, it needs to be away from the city, and there needs to be a program in place that looks at just giving these kids education, some love, and a understanding that life actually can be different, and you can actually, you know, you can actually get to that point. Mm-hmm. Because let's face it, obviously the detention centres aren't working. These kids are coming out of a, you know, whether it be a Friday afternoon, and the crimes are being committed, and then they go back, and then it's just a circle. It's just a never-ending circle.
Yes. Well, there's a prime example. Katie Johnson over at Redlinch, we just talked about it, exposed to this invasion of the home with a four-year-old daughter and baby sleeping next to her. Those three, aged between 12 and 15, had recently been released from Cleveland Youth Detention Centre in Townsville. There's the Once again, that's the point you're making.
Yeah, it's just we need to somehow, you know, everyone likes the term break the cycle. Well, we actually need to start doing it because it's the only way forward.
Yeah, this has been really worthwhile. Thank you for this, Tamara.
That's okay, John. I'm just glad people are continuing the talk because sometimes these issues just get too hard and everyone stops talking about it.
Exactly.
So, we need to at least keep it up because I think with enough pressure from the public, both sides of government need to start listening. So.
Excellent. I really appreciate this. Tamara Shiroi on the line there.